This hour is brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, and up on TSN 4, Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. It is a game night tonight for the Maple Leafs. Leafs Habs in a couple of hours. It's an alumni jacket type of evening, which I love and I support.
I'm getting other jackets made.
Really?
Of similar ilk.
Like Carolina and Hartford? Is that what you're saying?
Overdrive jackets for big show. A patch on it with a microphone and a logo of sorts. And we only wear it on big days.
I love that idea. That's why
color,
you
though?
Have the A on your jersey.
What color
same
is color it going to be?
Same color as this.
No. You got to do a lively color, like a Century 21 yellow, like that type of, you know, a
but
green
it's going to be a nice one. So you can wear it to a cocktail party or something.
I know, but it just the Overdrive coat.
I still can't believe that if you own this jacket and you played for the Maple Leafs and you had like a wedding party or like a wedding, like dinner for the wedding party or something, you wouldn't wear this jacket to some kind of function like that.
I just can't see myself going that far. I mean, I would happily wear it around Scotiabank Arena. I mean, I'd be all over the alumni box in that, and I'd be cruising around and hopefully lucky enough to come out and present the jersey to a veteran. And, yeah, I could see myself doing that. I'd love to do that. I don't know.
Why would you, like, we talked about this. Darcy Tucker doesn't wear his, like, to the grocery store. Wendell Clark's not wearing his on the farm, walking around. Like, you wear it just because that's their alumni, and they wear it to the rink. You don't wear it anywhere else.
I am not talking about a grocery store movement. I just mean, like, if there was an event where Bobby Weeks was getting an award at the golf course we both belong to, and there was a little reception or something, I think it's perfect attire.
It's an icebreaker. I mean, it's definitely an icebreaker, but I think everyone at a club like that knows who you are anyway. Like,
exactly.
You know, is Pooley showing up in a Flyers
with
jacket?
C on his jacket, too, because let everyone know he was the captain?
Yeah, like, it's a sharp-looking jacket. No, I support the jacket.
Pooley inside. There's, like, Maple Leaf players on the inside. Coco's in there. Stage is in there.
See, but I don't think everyone's got that. I think you made that up.
I did.
So that's another layer. Like, that's
Brian,
like,
McCabe's
Wendell Clark
in
doesn't
there with
flash
his mullet
there and go, there's me destroying Bruce Bell behind the net. Like, that's what he should do. Wendell Clark should have that of that massive hit behind the net on Bruce Bell.
Right. Like, yeah, I've never seen Wendell in an alumni jacket. I've never seen it. I've never seen Dougie Gilmore or Tucker.
Well, Wendell probably has cut off sleeves. Like, I could see Wendell, like, having a grittier one. Because he is gritty from head to toe.
I can see that, too. It's like a jean jacket. It's not It's not like a blazer. He'd have a jean jacket, alumni jacket.
Yeah.
And it would be outstanding.
And the Grappler says he's seen Wendell wearing his at the golf course. Well, that had to have been a sponsored event. He's not just wearing it around.
It was probably the Maple Leafs golf tournament. That's where the Grappler saw it. Grappler was creeping around somewhere he shouldn't have been.
Trying to stuff his mic there. Go ahead, Wendell, can we get you over here for 5 minutes?
Yeah, I'd like to know how the Grappler found his way in there. Like, how would the Grappler ever be in the same proximity as Wendell Clark Wendell's bombing around in an alumni jacket? It just doesn't seem like it's possible.
I can't believe the Grappler's actions yesterday saying, look at this sound from Steve Nash. Nash comes on, he goes, yeah, I haven't seen it. And then that's the end of the clip. And it was just a blow to the idea of having more audio, because if he does that, it's just not going to happen.
Well, don't you want to hear from Steve Nash now that the Brooklyn Nets have acquired James Harden? And
I do, but all I want to hear is his answer regarding Kyrie. What's going on? Does he have an answer for that, or is just Harden?
No, and this is a distraction from that. You know, if you're Brooklyn and you're running the PR, you're like, hey, let's forget about Kyrie Irving. We don't know where he is, what he's doing, when he's coming back, but we've got a new flashy toy. And a player that, when he's on his game, is better than Kyrie Irving.
I would suspend Kyrie Irving for 10 days. I would suspend him. Just say you just.
Well, it's a legitimate debate whether or not he's ever going to play again. Like, that's how crazy it is. This guy is just.
Play,
like, this
period?
He's missed four games for personal reasons.
Stephen A. Smith yesterday told him to retire. He just said retire.
Yeah, I guess if you don't to play or feel like playing, I mean, it's his call. It's his decision. And he's not getting paid. You know, like they're going to doctor his pay, clearly. He's going to be fined. And
you
can't
care,
be paying
though,
this guy. He's made so much money throughout his career already, and he's got so much more coming. But it's a three-ring circus already, and this is a fourth, fifth, beefy ring coming in with James Harden.
Yeah.
Because you got Durant, who is who he is, looked great last night. Kyrie Irving is just AWOL. He's gone. And now James Harden, who sabotaged his team.
His new name's Chubbs from Teen Wolf.
He's a meaty, tight talk,
yeah,
pants up above the boiler, jacking 30 shots a night type of athlete who's in his 30s and is making 40-plus million for the next 2 years, if not more than that.
Dude,
and
that's
now he's
me
in
a beard running up and down the court with tight clothes on. In a beard.
Yep. He looked a little thicker yesterday. That was a tough look for him.
Yep, that was a difficult look, but he's out. Now he's going to be in different colors starting, I guess, this week with Brooklyn. Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline here is Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. What's happening, Ray?
Does that Russian guy still own the Nets?
No, he sold the team.
Yeah, who owns that? Maybe they're looking at highlights from 2 years ago.
Harden doesn't look so good right now. He doesn't look so good.
I would describe him in the game, if I were the analyst, as he's lumbering out there.
Lumbering. That's kind of a soft landing.
Lumbering that's a tough term. Lumbering is so respectful for like slow, heavy. You know, it's really, it's a backhanded like shot. Like, the guy lumbering up the ice. Basically, he's like slow. Like, Ray, our buddy Pat Flatley used to lumber around the ice.
Yeah, I used to ask Flats, because remember he had those two knee braces noodles that looked like they were built in 1947.
Forrest Gump, yes.
And I used to ask him if he had them tied together. And he would just give it he'd, of course, go to my height right away. But I'm like, Flats, you're just supposed to keep one on each knee. Don't put them together. You got enough issues, man.
Yeah. Lumbering is a great term. I got to mix that in. I'm going to use that at some point. It's a perfect explanation of him, especially in warm-up. Like, I don't think he cares about warm-up much anyway. But when you're decked out and what he was decked out, a couple layups and I'm out. It's just an outstanding.
It was the color, too. Like, some colors are unflattering. That light baby blue, that tight tuck, it was just awful. If it was, like, a dark black where it kind of hides the fat, you're fine. But that light blue tracksuit was awful on him.
You know what I'm looking forward to, too, is that when he gets in, and you know how the guys, they take the bottom of their jersey and kind of wipe the sweat off?
Yeah, oh yeah.
What are the chances he's going to flip that thing up, flip the tarp up to dab his brow? I don't think very good.
He'll buy wrist guards before that happens.
Yeah, daggers at the towel boy. You be ready. When I call your name, you fire one right at me. I'll catch it, and I'll use it.
$40 million, that'll go quick for 2 years.
Yeah, you would think so.
Yeah.
It's only 40-plus million with a player option year three for 40-plus, which he's going to pick up. Like,
sure.
If he's on the back, which he is, he's on the back end of his career anyway. Imagine he's just a disaster in 2 years, and he's going to pick up his player option. So he's probably
there for three. Can you tell them now, Hayes? Can you tell them now for 3 years from now? Yeah, I'm going to pick that up.
Yeah, pretty much lock that in. Thanks for acquiring me. This is great, but I'm here for a while. So set up shop, because the kids in town. That's pretty wild news, and that's going to create a big buzz, clearly in the States and in the sports world. Maybe not ideal for the NHL when they're trying to launch a new season and probably catch a little bit of buzz themselves, but they're going to get it all exclusively up here tonight. And two all-Canadian matchups, Leafs-Habs. And I think it's a real opportunity for this rivalry to come to life. You know, it hasn't really been there. It's such a long-standing rivalry, and it's, I think, the number one rivalry. It always has been, always will be, just because they're original six teams, English, French, the two biggest cities in the country. I mean, there's such history there. But I think what we've been waiting for, Ray, is for both of them to be on the same page at the same time. And I think the expectation is the Leafs will make the playoffs, the Habs will make the playoffs, and maybe they meet in the playoffs for the first time since the late 70s. And if you get there, I mean, the odds would tell you there's a pretty good chance they're going to meet. So this could really be an opportunity, I think, over the next 4 or 5 months 10 games in the regular season, maybe a best-of-seven come playoff time for Toronto-Montreal to truly come alive.
We always felt like we were the Rangers' biggest rivalry when we were with the Islanders. They never even thought about us because they were way better. Yeah. Unless you're the same, it's not really a thing. Like when the Islanders, for example, and the Rangers were like bitter rivals back, like when the Islanders started to win the Cups, it was because they were both good at the same time. And I think that's probably what you mean, right, Brian? Like,
yep.
You got to both be good. If you're both crappy, nobody cares. If one's really good and they mop the floor with the other guys, that's no good. But now you said off the top, I'm going to fine you every time you say an all-Canadian matchup because that's all we
that's
got.
That's a good point. That's all we have. I didn't even think that. It wasn't even intentional. It was just a natural reaction. And, yeah, I got to stop it. You can't do it. It's every single night.
So now it's like we're all going to be focused in, and if somebody gets 7-3 on the other team, you know, in the 10 games, that's a determining factor because the points all stay in the division, right? All the points stay. So I think it's going to be really, really good to watch. I mean, Montreal, Toronto, and Calgary and Edmonton, for me, are the two easy ones that jump right off the page.
Yeah. I my only thing, and we had some props before you came on, Ray, and they're great numbers because, you know, Hayes is a degenerate when it comes to picking the perfect number. So, you know, we're talking about Matthews' goals and Marner's points. My only concern about all of these guys nailing it out of the park with points, and that's even McDavid and Draisaitl and that, is there's not you're not playing Detroit. You're not playing teams that are in the traditional rebuild where, you know, it should be if you play them four times, maybe three times, you get a six spot on them. There's still going to be lots of goals. Don't get me wrong. And all of those players I just mentioned are going to get a ton of points. But I think it's going to be tougher to get those points because there might be, once systems settle down, once, you know, coaches get a hold of everything, these games are going to be 3-2. 4-3, 3-1 with an empty net, or like that type of stuff where, you know, we would think maybe on, you know, I don't know, a handful of games, was it 15 games in an 82-game season where you're playing weaker teams and it is kind of point night. I've been thinking about that.
Is there
maybe
a defensive stalwart
up
here, though? Like, I agree with what you're saying. I just wonder on the flip side, you're also not going into St. Louis on a back-to-back.
Right,
thinking,
right.
We're going to get 12 shots tonight.
You right. Know, like, yeah,
other,
yeah, you're right.
One other thing to throw in here is guys are going to be at some point here. Guys are going to get worn out for a stretch, and you know I that's not going to help their points either. You know, like you just get worn out and the games turn into a bit of punting. Just like kick it back and forth up and down the ice, and like I don't know. I don't think there's going to be crazy offensive numbers this year. I think you can probably look at, you know, whatever the normal points per game. Like, I don't think it's going to change that much. What will change, of course, is like, you know, I think you've kind of hit the nail there, Noodles, is you're not going to get any crappy teams. I think everybody I know has picked Ottawa to finish seventh. They're going to have a big say in the placement of this division because I think they'll end up with enough points to be a real pain in the rear end for the teams in front of them.
I agree.
Wow. Yeah. And what if you start, like, what if they have that one team where they go, I don't know, 6-4, 7-3? Like, what?
Yeah.
You just talked about it. Like, you know, if you can consistently go 7-3 against a team, you know, all of these teams, then you're in great shape. But there's going to be that one team that kind of has your number or gets you in a stretch. Like, Hayes, you pointed out yesterday that Ottawa plays Calgary, what, 6 or 7 games in, like, a three-week span?
Yeah.
Like, what if that three-week span just doesn't go well for Calgary? Like,
and
Ottawa, and Matt Murray's on his head, and, you know, and Brady Tkachuk is underneath the skin. Like, and all of a sudden, you know, Calgary or Ottawa gets 4 of those 6 games.
Hayes, you tweeted about it today. Is it possible for one team to take every game off one of the other teams this year?
No.
I don't think so.
I don't think anybody would have beat us in Atlanta 10 straight times.
I don't know. Let's not get crazy here.
No, I agree.
We would have won one. I'm not saying we would have won two.
Ray, like, I'm not kidding. I don't think I ever lost a game in Atlanta. Like, like Atlanta home game. I don't think I ever played there and lost a game.
I
wasn't exactly on the Flyers or the Edmonton Oilers in the 80s. I don't remember losing in that building.
We won one game, I remember, against Toronto, and it was on Boxing Day. And those guys had to fly down in the morning because you couldn't travel on Christmas night. And it looked like they had their Christmas dinner on the plane. Like, they were so bad. And that's the only time I remember beating them in our building. But I'm thinking we would have won one.
It's not a smart bet,
you'd make it, Hayes. You'd put fish and eggs on it.
Oh, I would. Like, whoever Detroit's playing, like, is Tampa playing in Detroit? I think they are. Like, you're telling me Tampa couldn't beat Detroit 9 times? I think they could. I'm not going to guarantee it, but, like, I don't think anyone's getting Ottawa 9 times or 10
no,
times.
No,
like, that's not going to happen. And the more I look at and think of Ottawa and think of history, I think I need to snap out of it. Like, I was so certain Vegas would be dead last. They went to the Cup final their first year. I was so certain. Remember Colorado had that horrendous year, and I'm like, they'll be awful
points.
For years. The next year they were a playoff team, I believe.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think Ottawa's going to be a playoff team. But the more I look at the additions they've made, Stutzel might win Rookie of the Year. He's that good. Like, maybe you're like, maybe I need to tone it down.
That's what
with
I said
Ottawa.
Yesterday. Like, it seems like most organizations, they're usually, I find, 2 or 3 transactions away from turning it around. You throw in a draft pick, which you hit on, and then a goaltender, an important position. They get Matt Murray. He's got to be really good. But they've got, like, 7 transactions. So why is everybody... Well, I guess it's because the quality of the other teams. They're still picking
that's
up dead
what it
last.
Is. That's what it is. And, Ray, I don't know how deep you are into your research, but I've just looked, I focused on the Canadian division, started looking at teams. You're like, I forgot that guy's there. And, well, this guy's playing on the fourth line. Didn't read much about that. And all, like, that's why it's so amazing about this Canadian division, because you could literally make an argument for 6 teams, but I could make an argument of Ottawa getting points off of any one of these teams in Canada.
I wouldn't be shocked if they weren't dead last in the division. Like,
well,
I would be shocked if they made the playoffs, but if a team, it doesn't matter who it is, suffers injuries, goalie goes south, and Ottawa picks up a couple of points here or there, I wouldn't be shocked if they didn't finish seventh.
So look at how easy it could go off the rails. So Vancouver opens up tonight in Edmonton. Jamie Benn tests positive, then he tests negative, then he tests positive, or Jordy Benn. Positive, negative, positive, negative. He's considered positive. He's out. JT Miller was living at his house. He's a close contact. He's out. So they lose one of the best forwards last year in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And now they got to play for, I'm not even really clear. There's like, it could be 10 days or something or other. But, like, just think of that. They're going to play 4 games. Right, that's 8 points. Like, now their top 6 includes, I think, Jake Virtanen playing on the left wing and Nils Höglander playing his first NHL game. Who knows how it's going to go? And that's going to be that way. As much as we try to predict this all year, there's going to be stuff like this that's going to happen. And a team that looks really good in 2 days with a couple of positive tests is going to look crappy for the next 2 weeks. And it's going to happen for sure. It's going to happen to most teams.
It scares me because I looked at Denver in the NFL and you had the wide receiver as quarterback. Like, if these goalies, like, is there a chance, like, we haven't even done it, Jerry's, that maybe Arundel gets time for the Maple Leafs.
Right. Yeah,
now,
exactly.
What would have to happen? Like, and again, I'm not wishing anything. I'm just talking about the Leafs. But if a goaltender pulls a groin and he's out for 2 to 4, 4 to 6, the season's only 17 weeks long. Like, it, and any type of injury or COVID or anything can throw a wrench into anything. And I like the depth of the position for the Toronto Maple Leafs, having Dell and Hutchinson there. Winnipeg lost Comrie. Like, they've got to dig around for a goaltender because there's a massive drop off between Hellebuck and Larry Brossoit. Like,
who's your third guy, Noodles? I don't even know.
I can't pronounce his name. I know who it is, and I, but I,
He's not that good.
He's not ready.
Answer. He's not
Put it that way. He's not ready, and I would argue that Chevy's going to be sniffing around for a goalie very quickly, because you're right. If Connor Hellebuyck gets run over by Matthew Tkachuk tomorrow and he's out for any length of time.
Out for a month and COVID
right.
pops up, you're
That's
you're
I'm telling
American
you.
Like,
and in a traditional world, I know we're looking at how teams look on paper and how it should play out. This isn't the traditional world. This isn't what we're seeing is all hell's going to break loose tonight.
It probably will.
Yeah, and I have no idea how it's going to unfold.
Noodles, yeah. I will give you a goalie update, Noodles and Ray. Freddie Francese has one of the better masks in the NHL.
Your guy.
Yes, Noodles wow. guy. Freddie Francese has a tribute to Peter Forsberg, Joe Sakic, and the Stastny brothers
great.
On the retro Nordiques mask.
Well, great.
It's sick.
It is. But you know what? I was interviewed today talking about Joe Sakic, and I said, if he doesn't go and get a goalie by the deadline, then that's shame on him that he didn't learn from last year, because his head looked like it was going to explode when they went up 4-3 with 4 minutes left in that final game, and Michael Hutchinson gave up a goal 7 seconds later.
He just had all offseason. He decided not to do it.
And who would be available for him to say, this guy's going to put me over the
it's
edge?
It's Flower, isn't it? I mean,
well, it might be at the deadline. That's what I'm saying. You can go and get somebody. There might be, as we just talked about, a team that falls off a cliff, and they've got a goalie on an expiring contract who's got a ton of experience in the playoffs that you can grab at the deadline.
Don't forget this year, Noodles, as well. Whatever teams are going to acquire, particularly in goal, leads into the expansion draft in the summer.
Right.
And so you're looking at, okay, I want to add a goalie. I want to add one with an expiring contract because I don't want to give up a bunch of assets and then have to expose somebody. Right? Like it's, man, there's the expansion complication added into the world of today makes this... Man, it's a pretty iffy time to be making big decisions. I mean, yeah. Like, I don't know how you do it because I guess you're going to have to wait to get near the deadline, like you say, and go, okay, how good are we?
Right.
Like if we have a good guy, can we go somewhere? Because they can't do what they did last year.
No, and
they're too good.
It might be just, you know, in Detroit, like look at Grice or somebody, just another NHL body. That could give you playoff games because the guy has experience. I'm just throwing names out. And I actually should, I was corrected here, Mikhail Berdan. That's why I've been butchering his name. It's Berdan or Bird, a Russian goaltender, 22 years old.
Right.
That's the third goalie for Winnipeg. So
well,
they probably don't want him sitting there on the taxi squad either, sitting around collecting dust.
No.
They probably
not
want
ideal.
Him playing once they get going, right?
Yeah, they got to grab somebody for sure.
In terms of the guys going tonight, who has more pressure this season, Freddie Anderson or Carey Price?
Freddie Anderson.
Freddie's on an expiring contract.
10.5 sheets in Montreal. That's a lot of pressure, I would think, on Carey too.
He's had it all the time. I don't think it even. I don't know. I'm not saying it affects one guy like Price more than Anderson or Anderson more than Price. I just view it like it seems like the door is wide open for the Maple Leafs this year. And that puts a lot of pressure on that position.
Yep. And like you said, he's a free agent. He's got to. Well, he's looking for security, too.
He's playing for his career because if it goes well, then he signs an extension here or somebody signs him as a highly touted UFA. If it doesn't go well, we see how things happen sometimes, especially leaving, you know, this market. Like your star doesn't shine as bright. Right, like
you get dragged a little bit more.
Dragged a little bit.
Toronto.
Well, he's under the microscope here, and you earn that. But the point being is, if it doesn't go well, then you're going to go. Well, here's a track record. Game seven.
Can
game
you picture
seven,
a scenario where they sign him to an extension during the regular season, before the playoffs?
I would personally.
But what if he blows up in the playoffs again?
So, but
you would or would not?
No. I would. I personally would sign him to an extension because I think he's a goaltender that can give you 60 games in the regular season. He's a durable guy. He's not 35 years old, and he at worst case scenario, if it doesn't work out, he could be a trade piece because we're seeing right now how many great goal like there. There are teams that are looking for goaltenders left and right. And expansion's coming around the corner. And, you know, you could
That's
argue
why
that.
I wouldn't sign him.
But
right there, Noodles. I wouldn't sign him now. If you're
if you're sure you want to sign him after the expansion draft. Expose, because if you sign him, then you got to expose Campbell, right? Or you got to expose somebody.
Right.
Bell's on a one-year deal, is he not?
Yeah, but I would argue that if I was choosing just right now from Canada, I'd choose Braden Holtby and Jake Allen as my two goaltenders for Seattle.
Yeah, guys who you think would be exposed.
If Demko ends up pushing through and Carey Price isn't going anywhere, Jake Allen just signed a two-year extension, I believe. Like, that's not a bad tandem to start a – and that's just off the top of my head.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I – you know, again, if Freddie was on term, you know, the Flower – like, there's going to be some good goalies available next year. But I guess my point is I would have no problem with him on an extension – because I think he would be a tradable piece if you wanted to move
away
from him.
And that's probably wise management. I can't disagree with that logic, but it would almost seem inconsistent with the message they're sending. Like, it's all about winning, it's all about the playoffs, and he's right. Got to prove himself in the playoffs. And if you hook
that's
him up
before
matters. He gets there and then he blows up again, you're like, how do you explain that? You know, it's that said, if he goes on a run, then you're going to have to pay him even more. You know,
right.
Or he'd be like, all right, I'm out of here. You know, I just won you three rounds or whatever, two rounds, and you didn't want to pay me in the season, so I'm leaving. That's how it gets dicey. I get it with management. It's not an easy call, for sure. I have faith in Freddie Anderson during the regular season. I have for 4 years, and I have faith that he'll perform during the regular season this year. It's just the hyper-focused moments, biggest games, playoffs, hasn't worked out for him that well.
Right.
And that's the debate. Anyway, we'll see. It all starts tonight, and Johnny sent me a text with a really good point. Like, if you're making future bets on MVPs, McDavid's going to get him anyway. But he's had COVID. He's not going out with COVID. Matthews had COVID. Like, they're not missing 2 weeks.
No,
like,
you're
they're
right.
They're playing. You know, and Johnny just said maybe Dallas for a future to win the Cup. Their whole team has got COVID right now.
It's a
when
great
they come
point.
Back, they're not going to get hit again, you
well,
would presume.
And think of the guys that there are I know of. I wouldn't speak of it, but I know of other players – that have had COVID, it's just never been public.
Right. They're not going anywhere.
By exactly. the way, if you want to quiz yourself,
don't
take a
say
look
that word.
take a look at Dallas's lines and see if you can get the guy's first names.
Oh, yeah.
Right now. I mean, they have got... they got a bunch of guys. I'm like, I don't know that guy. I don't know that guy. I mean, they're all young kids, right? As they try to get everybody back healthy. But it's like, I looked at I was going through the game lineups and or practice lineups, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't know who any of these guys are. I really got to get to work. And then I'm like, oh man, they've got, you know, 10 guys or 8 guys with COVID. So it's going to be a lot of that, I think, too.
I think you're probably right. Well, we got games tonight, and then it gets started. I think you're traveling tomorrow, so we'll catch up Friday at 5:05.
Yeah, we'll be in Ottawa, so it's one of my 4 trips this year. But be in Ottawa for the Sens and the Leafs.
Beautiful.
Look forward to seeing it. Look forward to tonight. It's going to be fun to watch.
Yep. Enjoy it, buddy. We'll do it again soon.
See you guys.
There he is, Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. You can buy or lease online as well at mapletoyota.com and get rates from as low as 0%. So get to mapletoyota.com. Wheel of Misfortune coming up. The inaugural edition. Never happened before. We will explain it. We'll lay it out for you. We'll get into it next.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's now time for the Wheel of Misfortune.
Wow. Al's brother. That was Al's brother doing voiceover work for us.
Really?
He is a talented individual. We love Al's brother. And
that was Al's brother.
That was Al's brother. I picked up on the voice immediately. I said, that's a guy who picks winners and a couple of losers from time to time, but that's awesome. Thank you, Al's brother. We appreciate it. Good stuff. Mullen, the Wheel of Misfortune. So the way this works is last week it was an emotional Wednesday on the show. Jerry announced that he's going into semi-retirement. But as we made very clear at that point, and he made very clear at that point, he will be a regular on the show. He's still going to be back a lot. And we figured we'd kind of bring together all the different bits we do and focus it Wednesday at 5:30. And we'll
buffet.
Spin the wheel.
Oopsie daisy, look who's back.
Oh.
It is Jerry. This is somewhat of a shocking development. So That could have been Jerry. It could have been our boy John Ferguson Jr., confirm or deny. It could have been Nick Cage, role play level of concern. It could be any of them at any time. Yeah. And we just spun the wheel for the first time, and I'm borderline shocked that Jerry would be willing to do this. I mean, considering it's opening night tonight. But
never
those
know.
Of you that were concerned, we wouldn't hear from him again. It turns out he's back only a week later. That's a quick semi-retirement, but how about that? You want to hear from Jerry? I guess
that's
we're going to do a couple of Jerrys here this afternoon.
It's a celebration, and you best believe Jerry wouldn't miss it. I know you pigeons led by Hayes were hoping Jerry would disappear for a while. Well, knock, knock. Who's there? A Hall of Famer is there, that's who. So here's a two-pack of takes from the man that will always own this time slot.
Okay, I like it. So he's still bold, he's still beautiful, he's still got an attitude, and he's calling people
like
pigeons.
Hayes.
He still hates me. He's always hated me.
Let's hear from him. Let's get
He's got a two-pack. That doesn't sound like enough. I feel like there's going to be more to this, but we got a two-pack of takes from Jerry's, and let's see what he's got.
The Hart Trophy will stay in Canada.
Dreisaitl has it. Jerry's saying it stays up here this year. Percentage, please.
I love Nathan MacKinnon, but for some reason, I actually think it does. I'm going to go 65%. I don't know. Maybe that's way too high, but I just got a feeling it might. 65%.
I'm 28%. There's, you know, certainly some candidates up here, but I mean, you got some great players. Like, not even Nathan MacKinnon. Like, what if Braden Point decides I'm going to have?
Oh, no kidding.
You know what
no
I mean?
Kidding.
What if Victor Hedman goes, I'm not just going to win the Norris. I'm going to be the best player on this planet.
What if Sid snaps out of it?
Or Sid or Chino or, like,
runs,
you know.
This league.
Exactly. Like, they're, I just, you know, it's greasy to say the field, but I'm playing the field.
It's a lot of them, right? There's 24 teams with a boatload of great, great players. But I'm high on this, too. I think McDavid is going to be a rock star. I think there are four legitimate candidates to win this in the country. I think McDavid is one. Dreisaitl has to be two. I mean, of course, he could double down. It's not likely. It doesn't happen a lot historically, but it could happen. I think Matthews is a legitimate contender, and I think Pettersson is a legitimate contender. I think there are four guys in the country that really could do it and could be nominated and could put up monster years. And for me, McDavid's a clear-cut favorite right now. So I'm going to say 70%.
Ooh.
70%.
That's a big number.
It's a big number. There's superstars up here.
Like, well, the thing is,
TSN just unveiled their top 50, and three of the top four are in Canada.
You're right, but who votes? It's not just the Eastern writers. It's the whole league. That's
no,
the
thing. Of
course
not.
That's why, like, that's why I went with the field, because
we're not talking voter collusion.
Yeah, I'm not saying that Joe from the Bridge is the one that's
I'm
handing
the I'm just saying
the
a lot of oxygen on those four players that you just discussed is from the Canadian media.
The Canadian media can't wait to talk about MacKinnon either, which he deserves. But MacKinnon's setting up for his Lifetime Achievement Award MVP. You know, got to get him one. He's got to have it.
Well,
and, you know, if he falls through, good for him. But
here's what I'm saying is Colorado could chew that division up in their sleep, and he may get 100-point pace, and it's not a lifetime achievement. They might just go, like, you guys were arguing on this show that MacKinnon was better than McDavid in the playoffs, right? Because we were watching MacKinnon play, and McDavid was at home. So
that's right.
You know, you could clearly make
could
a case
it.
For him.
I'm not saying it would feel, you know, cheated or something like that.
Got,
of course, MacKinnon can, but MacKinnon's getting a lot of love too, and he should. But all right, we'll see. Let's. This was a two-pack of takes. We got one more from Jerry.
One of Colorado, Tampa, or Vegas wins the Stanley Cup, and Jerry gets to call them to come and get it.
Okay, so that was Colorado, Tampa, or Vegas. Jerry's saying one of those three teams will win the Cup.
100%.
100's rich. I'm going to be high on that. But
100%.
Listen, I saw your rankings last night, and
did you see Ray's?
No, Ray didn't go so well, right?
I know.
Ray had some technical issues with his picks.
I saw Ray's life, like, fizzling out in front of me, and I could just not only see the wires literally crossing, but also in his brain. Anyway, I'm going to go 100%. I think all of those teams are good picks. I obviously don't want that to be the case, but I'm going 100%.
I'm 76%. I think those three are fantastic, but there's going to be a team north of the border that gets to the semifinals, right? Final four, right? So, yeah. I mean, we'll see how it unfolds, but I think those three are pretty good bets. I'm on Colorado, personally.
And you're not alone. Although that's I think that comes with a caveat if they get a better goaltender, who knows? I mean, maybe Grubauer could take him there, or Freddie or Frankie Frances, whatever the hell the guy's name is. But yeah. This is one where I look at the field. I mean, I hear you. I mean, there are three great teams, and on paper you look at it. But we're walking into the great unknown. There's so much uncertainty anyway. I'm not sure if it matters if you get the best team on paper before you play games during a pandemic with no fans. Could I see Washington snapping out of it and getting back there? Yes, I could. Could I see a Canadian team? Yes. Carolina's a sneaky team. I like Carolina. I don't love their goaltending. St. Louis could get back onto it. I'm gonna play the field. I'm gonna say 40%. Even that's really high. You know, it's a league of 31. We know there's about 15 teams you can cancel out right now. They probably aren't going to do that. But three teams where there might be 8 to 10 that could get it, you know, I'll even give them a bit of a bump because I think they're the three at the top. I'll say 40%.
Good call.
Okay. Do we have anything more from Jerry? Let's see what we have left in the chamber with Geraldo making a shocking return a week after semi-retirement.
Mullen, spin the wheel, you plug.
Do you regret giving all those gentlemen the no trades or no movement clauses?
Oh, no. I can either confirm or deny that.
Wow.
Wow.
What a mashup. Man, we're on fire today. So we just had a two-pack of Jerry's, and now we have a confirm or deny where I guess we just got to keep this ball rolling. I'm liking this. The wheel of misfortune. You have no idea what's coming. Confirm or deny, Austin Matthews will score tonight, making it 5 straight openers with a goal to start his career.
I'm going to say it happens. For some reason, he's one of those rare guys. Like, I'd done a lot of Leaf games, whether it be radio or TV, and this guy seems like he scores every game. So why not the first game?
Yeah.
Like, every game this guy snipes. It's like, it's so weird when he doesn't. I'm going to say yes.
I'm confirming it, too. Like, he's aware of the streak, too, now. And you want to have a good start and, you know, loose. I think it'd be loose defensively. And, yeah, I don't know. Seeing him last night, seeing him talk, he's aware of it. And
every year he starts like an absolute gangbuster.
So I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say yes. And just like we predicted, guys, the first goal of the season, of this whole NHL season, was scored by who? Who do you think? Mark Jankowski.
Oh, good. Chipping away.
He had 0 goals, I think, in Calgary last year. Like,
depth guy. I like it. Jimmy Rutherford making moves already.
Yeah.
Shout out to Pitt and Jankowski. I'll deny it just based on the probability. Yeah. You know, like, I can see it. I can picture it. But at some point, he's not going to score, right?
Yeah.
At some point, he's going to roll into a game. He might have 10 shots tonight. Carey Price might stand on his head. So I'll deny it. Confirm or deny, continuing. William Nylander finishes top 3 in points on the Leafs this year.
I'm denying it. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, O.
God, what's your reasoning? Denying it how?
Because I think it's going to be Marner, Matthews, either or, you take your pick, and I think Tavares is going to have a big year. So
I'm going to confirm it. I think Nylander, he's poised to it's a stupid shinny game, but he looks like he's dialed in. I'm going to confirm that.
Yeah, it's a sneaky one because the obvious answers are Matthews and Marner, but then you're like, I think Tavares historically would be ahead of him, right? So I think I'll deny because I think Tavares is going to have a big year too. I think they'll be close.
Right.
And if they're both line mates in second power play, I think they'll be close. Confirm or deny, continuing here. One of Freddie Anderson or Zach Hyman are about to start their final season in Toronto.
Confirm.
I'll confirm that as well. Jamie, go ahead.
I don't think it's Freddie. I think it could be Hyman. If he ends up getting pushed down the lineup, and I know he's a unique player, I love him, but guess what? He's going to go from, 2.25, and he's going to be wanting something with a 4 in it.
Probably, yeah.
And he's
if he scores at the rate he has the last 2 years.
That's what I'm saying. He's going to price himself. They're going to want him. He's going to want to stay. They're going to love him and that. But I don't think they'll be able to afford him based on their cap structure.
Yeah. So I'm going to deny it. The ultimate hometown discount if he ends up staying here.
That'd be so disappointing. I mean, he's just.
Oh, I love the way he plays.
Exactly
and
what
they,
you want
they
here.
Desperately need him in that lineup the way he plays.
I it's not because I want anything to happen to him. It's just
no,
I'm looking
obviously.
At the.
It's nothing
the,
against him. I mean, that's
the
just the reality
facts.
Of economics.
Right.
I think he's more. I think he's valuable enough. They'd find a way to make it work. I think you ship out Kerfoot. I'm not convinced Anderson's back. That's what
right.
I'm not convinced
yeah.
about. So I guess I'll confirm it based on the odds. But yeah, I'm not convinced of that. All right, there you go. We've got Jerry's, we've got confirm or deny. I think we might spin the wheel and keep this rocking. You know, we got some more stuff coming on.
How could we stop? How could we stop?
I guess we need to continue. Darren Dreger coming up in about 20 minutes. It's opening night in the NHL. James Harden has been flipped from Houston to Brooklyn. Mark Shapiro's got a 5-year extension here in Toronto. Lots going on. We're all over it. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, here we go. Darren Dreger, a hockey insider, in about 15 minutes. We rolled out the real stuff, man. The Wheel of Misfortune. I think it went off beautifully. I think we may still get to a little bit more later in this
Have
show.
To.
Yeah, because we've got some maybe one more guy who wants to make an appearance and wants to say some stuff, and then we'll probably go around the table based on that. So you can cross the T's and dot the I's on what we're teasing there. But we got a couple more confirms or denies. You guys want to keep rolling with Fergie and the boys?
Of course, of course.
Yes. Okay, all right. Confirm or deny, Sidney Crosby will finish the season as a top 5 player in the league. He will have a top 5 season. When all is said and done, you'll say that was a top 5 player this year.
So Sid, we're not just talking about points.
No, we're talking the whole nine. Eye test,
confirm.
Leadership.
I think it's his last kick at the can. It's his last kick at the can this year. I don't care how fit he is, how good he is. Just time will get you from playing like that and be regarded as one of those guys. There's new young kids that are coming up. I think it could be his last kick at the can to be a top 5 player. I feel awful even saying that, but I think it's the truth.
I'm confirming it just because I, you know, Hayes, you built a case for him a while ago saying he's kind of stood back and he watched his buddy McKinnon step into the limelight. McDavid's getting a lot of oxygen, Draisaitl, Matthews, and he's almost like
quiet.
The old guy going to step
under
in.
Under the radar.
Go, all right, guys, I'm just going to show you how it's done here. Mm-hmm. So I think you're going to look at him and go, yeah, his body of work is top 5.
Yeah, I confirm it, too. I wouldn't
How old
be shocked
is he, 32, Hayes?
He's 33 years old.
33. Just turned 33.
Okay, maybe he might have a couple years, 2 or 3 years. I don't want to be getting texts from certain people.
Well, and he said the better part of 10 months off to prepare. You know this guy is a freak in the gym with the diet, you know, and he's been quiet. He's just let everyone else take up the oxygen, and I would not be surprised if he won the Hart this year. I wouldn't, because I think he's going to need to drag that team in. Right, like that's a great division. Whoever is the superstar of a team that finishes top 4 in that division will get Hart recognition. It's going to happen, and it probably should. Like if the Rangers get in, Panarin will get it again. Right. If Pittsburgh gets in, Sid likely will. So I will confirm it as well. Confirm or deny: if the Maple Leafs do not win the Canadian division, like a lot of people are prognosticating that they will, if the Leafs do not win the Canadian division, it will be a team from Alberta that will win the division. Confirm or deny?
I mean, Edmonton had more points than Toronto and point
than anyone
percentage.
Else in the country.
I got asked that question today, actually. It was Edmonton radio, but saying, you know, how come everyone's picking the Leafs when Edmonton actually had more points than them last year? And I was like, well, I think, you know, there's a lot of excitement in Toronto.
I'm going to confirm it, Hayes, because sooner or later with McDavid and Draisaitl, like, don't they have to dominate from start to finish 1 year, regardless of what's in net, what's on the blue line? When you have the two best players on the planet or at any particular time, don't you just have to say, okay, like, go Malkin Crosby and just, I don't know. I think it's just got to happen sooner or later. Maybe this year I'll confirm it.
I'm looking at the team down the road.
In Calgary?
Yes. I think they're not getting enough buzz for me. I think they're in. I think they're a top 4 team. I think they make it. I think if Markstrom plays the way he has the past 2 years, I like them. You know, I think they've got a good balance. I think they got guys who need – Monahan's was a mess last year. He can't possibly be that bad. Goudreau was a
mess. Good in the playoffs, though. He was good in the bubble.
They bounced back those two. You know what you're getting out of Tkachuk. You know, Lindholm's a good player. They got – Giordano can still play.
They added some depth. Like, you're right. Markstrom's the X factor. I have to be consistent because I've said Winnipeg all along, so I'm going to deny because I think Winnipeg is a really balanced team. Like, so I got to be consistent with that. That's my only, I guess, argument is I've been beating on the Winnipeg drum for a while, and they're flying under the radar, and, you know, we'll see what they've got. But you're right. You make compelling arguments. Edmonton could be there. Calgary could be there. Leafs could be there.
Montreal's getting love, too.
That's the crazy part is I just want this to get going so you can kind of, you know, a week in go, okay, that team has a potential. This team, you know, like, can't get a read on anything.
Well,
that's
a stronger and more compelling case for me if you're in Edmonton. Forget the Leafs and them getting their love. It's that Montreal's getting more than you. Montreal, if COVID didn't hit, would have missed the playoffs by a dozen points last year.
Right.
And I like the moves they've made for the most part. They didn't add Kucherov to their lineup. You know, it's not like Sidney Crosby's playing tonight. It's Josh Anderson, Tyler Toffoli. You know, Romanov might be good. Jake Allen, who's a backup goalie, not going to play a ton. Like, they're getting so much love for the moves, and I think it's a bit much. I think they're going to get in. But this idea that they've blown past Edmonton, Calgary, Winnipeg, Vancouver
doesn't add up to me.
I just think they're balanced. They're the most balanced team in Canada. I mean, you can argue first line versus first line, but, you know, I think fourth line and third and fourth line, they're as balanced
they
as anybody.
Their D is the best
in Canada.
Yeah. If they play tough in a system and they defend, they'll get in.
Yeah.
Their
goaltending tandem's the best tandem in Canada, too. So, their back end is really what they're going to make their hay on.
Right.
That's, I think, where people are judging on.
You know? Final hour coming up. Darren Dreger will join us. We'll continue with the Wheel of Misfortune. You might hear from your boy Nick Cage. Little mind reader element to the final hour, too. A lot going on here. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.
Alpine Credits.
Yes, it's your English teacher, Mrs. Nelson.
Uh-oh.
You've been using the word approved quite a lot lately.
True, but...
You know there are alternatives like accepted, authorized, confirmed, validated. Let's try. I own my home and would like a loan.
Accepted-ated.
Alpine Credits, where homeowners get endorsed, confirmed, permitted, allowed, okayed, and approved. Some conditions apply. Alpine Credits.
FSRA license 12616.
This hour was brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.